Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, Thou hast been my help. Lead me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God of my salvation.
Let us pray. O God, who hast prepared for them that love thee such good things as pass man's understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward thee that we, loving thee above all things, may obtain thy promises, which exceed all we can desire through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from the 16th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the land of the south, where he has driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward, I will send for my hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double for their iniquity and their sins, because they have defiled my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable idols. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Will a man make gods for himself, which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. Finally, all of you who be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you will be called to this, that you will inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the graduate. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when he had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again from according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The hymn is in the bulletin insert. Our sermon text is from St. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean? Luther explains in the Small Catechism, God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. How is God's name kept holy? Luther explains, God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. And we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. And then he says, help us do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches contrary or lives contrary to the Word of God profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. Now we know that in this world, the Word of God is used both by believers and unbelievers alike. It's used to give credence to many things that they want to be important. The Word of God is often cited as proof for a false teaching. The Word of God is twisted to justify immoral living. The Word of God is quoted to give reason for biblical child raising, for biblical cooking, even for Christian nationalism. One of the reasons our Lord has us regularly pray, Hallowed be thy name, is because God's word is often not hallowed, because it is not taught in its truth and purity. Now, the content of the phrase Word of God is not simply just words about God, not even simply words spoken by God. St. John tells us in his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is, in fact, the person of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. It is Jesus preaching the Word of God in truth and purity which attracted the people by the Lake of Gennesaret. In John 7:46, even the officers of the Sanhedrin had to admit that no man ever spoke like Jesus. The crowds in our text pressed about him to hear the word of God until finally Jesus continued to teach them from the bow of Peter's boat. The Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes didn't preach like Jesus. The people really wanted to hear the Word of God. That is, they wanted to hear the Word which was from God. It was the content and authority of Jesus' preaching which defines the Word of God. Jesus spoke, in our text, Jesus spoke words of law which showed the people their sinful hearts and their resulting sinful actions. Jesus spoke of the punishment which was due them for their disobedience and sin. Jesus also spoke words of forgiveness, the promise of God. His words were gospel. They were the good news that sin is forgiven. God has provided an atonement, that is a payment for their sins, so that they could receive grace and forgiveness. The people feared God's words of law. They loved to hear God's word of gospel. By the power of the Holy Spirit working through the word, they feared and loved God and trusted in Jesus as the promised Savior from sin. Thus, it is Jesus' preaching of the law and gospel which drew the people. Later, the same preaching of the Word of God will be defined by the apostles' preaching of law and gospel. Furthermore, when we get to the end of the pericope, Jesus will call Peter, James, and John and begin their seminary training to learn to preach these same words of God, which is law and gospel, which creates faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is created by this preaching of the Word of God. Jesus had gotten into Simon's boat. Simon was sitting in his boat listening to Jesus praying. And like most believers, Simon listened to the Word of God and he believed because the Holy Spirit had worked. Nevertheless, though Simon believed in Jesus, he, like most believers, like most of us, needed to be taught by the Holy Spirit to rely on the power and the success of God's Word. Similarly, you and I may attend church and believe in Jesus, but then on Sunday afternoon or Monday, we doubt that God will provide. We worry about all kinds of things that are out of our control. Thus, we need to be taught to rely on our God-given Christian faith in Jesus for all things. No matter what concerns we have, we can rely on God who saves us from our sins and who sees us through everything else. This divine God, or this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can surely be trusted to take care of our daily bread, just like He always has. Back to Simon. Jesus needed to teach Simon to trust in Him, not only as a prophet who speaks the true things about God, but also as the divine Son of God whose preaching creates and strengthens faith. When Jesus asked Peter to put out from the land for a catch in the middle of the day. Put out from the land, let down your nets, as Jesus said. It's now time for Simon to believe that Jesus is not just a good Bible teacher. Rather, he is the one who has the power to affect the words he says. It's one thing to have knowledge about religious things. It's quite another thing to believe that Jesus can and does do what he promises. By faith in the Holy Spirit that was created in Simon, he does do what Jesus commands. As a fisherman, Simon knew that fishing in the deeper water in the middle of the day was a waste of time. Nevertheless, Simon does what Jesus said. Yes, he voices those doubts to Jesus, but that doesn't stop Jesus from making a successful fishing excursion. Simon does as he's asked. And when the fishing expedition is an overwhelming success, Simon realizes something. He says, something's going on here. Simon realizes, and he responds to Jesus with a different approach. He shows deep respect for Jesus. Prior to the catch, Simon would have proudly said that he was more than respectful to Jesus. But now that he has come to see that he is in the presence of the God of the universe, Simon cries out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Simon realizes that he's not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. To which Jesus says the words of absolution: "Do not continue to be afraid." That's a Greek present tense, and it's a continuing active verb. That's why I put the "do not continue to be afraid" in there. Those words are the equivalent of "I am with you always. Your sins are forgiven." The change in Simon's thinking can be observed by his calling Jesus Master before this miracle of the draught of fish, and his calling Jesus Lord afterwards. Through this event, God is giving Simon a demonstration of the power of God's Word. Simon is one to become an apostle. He's one who's in the pastoral office. Simon is going to preach these same words for the purpose of creating this same faith. Jesus wants Simon to become a preacher who knows that it is God's Word which does the work. The Word of God is not just another message. It is the Word from God. And His Word is powerful. It is effective. Jesus gives Simon a display of power, and what happens when God says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch"? It's finally at the end of today's Holy Gospel that Simon hears Jesus say, "From now on, you will catch men." Jesus is going to give Simon, Peter, and the apostles the powerful and effective Word of God. No program, no big buildings, just the Word. That Word from God will do. It will do the very thing for which Jesus sent it. It will not return without accomplishing the purpose for which it is sent. Dr. Luther sees in this historical miracle that there is a teaching lesson for Simon. It's a metaphor for the work of pastors in Christ's church. Luther says, "Christ himself teaches the meaning of the history of Peter's draught of fish when he says, 'Henceforth thou shalt catch men.' Therein he represented the spiritual rule of the church, which consists of the office of preaching. The sea, that is the water, which represents the world, the fish represent men, while the outward office of preaching is represented by the hand and the net by which the fish are caught." There's one more change in our text. At the beginning, Simon is a fisherman who owned a boat and let down his nets for a catch. But after the miracle, when Simon begins to realize his sin and his Savior, his name is changed from Simon to Simon Peter. Through the Word of God, Simon is becoming a preacher of the Word from God. He is becoming Peter, the rock, who trusted in the powerful and effective law and gospel. In today's text, Simon is taught to rely on the power and the effective Word of God for all he needs. With today's teaching, we too are taught to trust that God's Word is from God. Just as surely as He caused the catch of many fish, He will use His Word to create and strengthen our faith through the pastor's preaching and teaching of the law and gospel. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The offertory. Let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You use the hearing of Your Word to create and strengthen faith in Your Son, who forgives sin and declares, "Do not be afraid of His holiness." Let us pray to the Lord. Gather sinners into Your church by the foolish message of the cross. Catch men alive from the deep chaotic waters of miracle seekers and worldly wisdom, and bring them into the safety of Your church. Use Your people to bear witness to the message by their hearing and godly living. Continue to strengthen by Your absolution our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they may not be concerned with their sinful unworthiness, but that they would use the Word to save men. We give thanks for a successful 2023 Eldona Synod and for the graduation, calls, and ordination of Ben and Jacob Henson. Continue to bless and strengthen them as they are installed in their respective compositions. We pray for our director Keeley, our teachers and staff, those who volunteer in taking care of the children and maintaining the facility, those who give financial and prayer support, and for the Board of Education. We pray for the enemies of the church and those who would hinder its divine mission, that their hearts may be turned to the Lord of mercy and compassion. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for the nations of the world and their leaders, including President Biden and the Congress of the United States, Governor Pritzker and state legislators, Mayor Fratini and city officials, and all our judges, that they would act wisely and responsibly, and that they would carry out their duties as citizens. Be with and protect the soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors, and special forces, especially Jason and Blake, as well as our police officers, Dan and Alex, who put their lives in harm's way in order to defend our freedoms. We ask that God would keep them in His care and lift their spirits during times of trial. Provide for the mentally challenged and the institutions which serve them, that the needs of their minds, bodies, and souls would be met. Sustain them by Your mercy in all needs. Let us pray to the Lord. Watch over and provide for our shut-in Carolyn, for our elderly Tom and Violet. Provide for the various needs of Kevin, Levi, Anita, Larry and Deb, Christina, Harold, as well as for Jake Horman's wife, Jackie. Protect and bless Christina and Pastor Ben Henson and their unborn child. Be with our students, Kara, Jonathan. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, worship, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hymn number 315. Let us pray to the Lord. O God, who hast prepared for all them that love thee such good things as pass one's understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward thee, that we, loving thee above all things, may obtain thy promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine on thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.